Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another pollen-soaked episode of Let's Weekend. I am, of course, your host of the most stuffiness in his nose, Brandon Perkins. And joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi. Say hi.
Ooh.
Hello.
Their sinuses are completely clear, and because of that, I hate them.
Not completely.
Well, that only means that you'll be the last one to die. Now, yeah, so it is now March, and of course this episode is for March 2nd, 2018, blah, 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 blah. It is now March, which means that although officially spring isn't here yet, it might as well be because, oh boy.
Yeah, plants are jizzing all over the place.
Oh, yeah, just... Yeah, just somebody grab a rag because these plants are going skeet, skeet, skeet all over the walls. Because from the window.
Even that one there.
Yeah, it's really hard to get this across to people who do not have hay fever as bad as I do. It basically results in me. My body basically reacts to pollen the way some people react to shellfish. And I get, you know, itchy, watery eyes, throat's all scratchy. You know, it's the kind of scratchy where, you know, you're not supposed to try and use your tongue to scratch it, but you do anyway because otherwise it's driving you insane. That kind of thing. Yeah. And if enough of it gets in my eyes swell shut. So, that's a lot of fun, but anyway, but other than that, this week was surprisingly not as eventful as the previous weeks have. I don't know if that's...
Oh, we just got quality quantity this week.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing or, like, it's quantitative over... I don't know. I'm not sure if I should be worried or not.
That's good podcasting, so let's run with it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so with all that out of the way, we're going to go ahead and get started as we usually do. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Started on advanced stuff, so yeah, that's going to help mm-hmm. stuff that is progressing pretty well. Mm. We like just take one album and listen to it from cover. I did that mm-hmm. today. And the album I picked...
The third, Van Halen 3, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, so Van Halen 3 is the one with Gary Cherone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the one with Gary Cherone, and I can't...
That album cover is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it makes sense there. I can't really blame Gary Cherone just basically being a dick.
So, yeah.
Yeah, what you ended up with... Gary Cherone, you know, you've heard him on Singer.
No.
Yeah, so that album...
Let's be honest, the album, the material was just shit.
Yeah.
I mean...
It was completely shit. It's to the point where, you know, they don't even acknowledge
mm-hmm.
They would very much like to forget that ever happened.
Yeah.
That exists. Don't ever...
No. If you absolutely have to listen to it, just listen to it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It'll probably take you about 30 seconds before you say, fuck this, and turn it off, so...
Well, at least listen to track 6 once. Well, that's the name of the song and pretty much how many times you should listen to it. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's that's actually one of the that's a Van Halen song that doesn't sound like any other Van Halen song, and it's in a good way. It's got a lot of Pink Floyd vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the only song on the album that actually works. So, yeah, there's that. But, yeah, the rest of it's garbage. next up, I'll probably subject Limp Bizkit. No. No, not going to do that.
No, I'm going to have to put my foot down and say no.
Top Gear, because that's back. Seems like the Grand Tour season ended, and the week after that...
Convenient.
Yeah, very, very, very... Yeah, solid improvement over last year. definitely the three hosts are gelling a lot better now. They've cut out a lot of the fat from last season. V8 muscle cars through your neck of the woods, Bat. they were in Utah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a good episode. And if that's how they're starting it, I think the rest of the season will probably be pretty good. The only thing that's bothering me about BBC Top Gear at this point is the length of the
absolute minimum.
Yeah, absolute minimum, and it's like, yeah, we don't have much money anymore, so
done fucked up.
Yeah, well, they don't have Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Once again, pretty much all my free time has been pouring into World Warriors. I finally got the video library up over 1,500 videos. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of made the announcement on the Facebook page and open up the floodgates to let people take a look at it and see how they like what we're doing here. And on top of that, I went ahead and pulled the trigger on announcing the ninth game that we're going to be supporting at the site, and that is Soul Calibur 2, which has definitely proven to stand the test of time and has a readily available version out there on Xbox One and PS3 right now. Mm-hmm. So, I figured it had very good prospects for capitalizing on any support that it might get. So, ninth game for World Warriors, Soul Calibur 2. And that has been my week. All right, then, Chris, what about you?
So, I've been watching more of The Flash. He has met Savitar, the God of Speed. This whole little weird thing that's been going on. But that is kind of the Flash's thing of just getting all the weirdest people all gravitating to him. But yeah, still been going pretty well. Been watching more Dragon Ball Z Kai, which the last episode of All Systems Goku got up to was the final episode of the fight with Vegeta. Which I had forgotten how much sort of crazy stuff goes on with Gohan going Great Ape on him, then Vegeta cutting off his tail but not able to get out of the way as he just crushes him as he's turning back into human. Things like how Yajirobe gets involved in this real dumb way of being the one that cuts off his tail and then tries to cut him in the back with his sword. Thinks he's actually beat him, but then obviously realizes that sword is
fucking instrumental in that fight, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of keeps this whole thing going on where he stays on the edges of these big fights coming up. I think with the Cell games, he was also hanging around.
Mm-hmm. I almost wonder if he's going to be in the DLC pack for FighterZ.
Would it be the first one with an actual weapon?
I think so.
Is everybody else just the normal energy stuff?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I would love to see them bring more Dragon Ball characters into it.
Yeah.
Since they don't have to worry about pure power levels. Things like him, Mercenary Tao, maybe you could bring Aider into it. Maybe some B and Z and Super. Because that's a weird shit Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
That was just where they said, oh yeah, Goku can fight an invisible man and a vampire. All this good stuff. Yeah, that's been pretty good. As for games, I checked out State of Decay on the Xbox One, and man, that runs like shit.
Mm-hmm.
It did not run well on the Xbox 360, and it still doesn't run well on the Xbox One. If there's a game that needs some help from the X upgrades, that one definitely needs it. I was just in that first area, right here in like the campgrounds. And it was like, oh god, this isn't running well at all. And I'm on an X, so it's even getting a little bit of a boost just from that. But yeah, I was pretty much about ready to tap out after that. It's like, you guys need to put a little more work into this. I did start up Crackdown to see what the upgrades are like. And it looks nice and sharp, especially when you if you let the menu sit, you see sort of the a little bit of the original game.
Mm.
It's like, ooh, that is blurry. That is 2006 blurry game right there. Then I realized, yeah, I've kind of done everything I can on this save, apart from just going and finding every little hidden orb and the last few agility orbs, even though my agility is maxed out. I guess I could reset the gang stuff, but other than that, it's like I kind of want Crackdown 2 available so I can at least try and play that. Better just wait for Crackdown 3. Yeah, I need to check out some of the other ones that they just released this week. I think Forza Horizon got an update, and The Witcher 2. Those are two that I have that I want to check out. Forza Horizon kind of sucked because my save got lost at some point. So I had to start over, which is not the best thing for making me want to jump back in, especially when I have Horizon 3 to play. But, yeah, that's been most of what I've been doing on Xbox One. Though I've been having that weird bug where I mentioned where it just asked me to free up, like, 200 megs. I do that, and it says, hey, free up 200 megs. I do it again, it's like, hey, can you free up 200 megs? It's like, fuck you. It's doing that now on my X. And now I'm pissed.
Yeah, I found that when that happens to me, doing a full power...
Yeah, or I just look at the size of the game it's trying to update. Like, that's probably how much space it needs.
Yeah, it's not even the space, really. If it's stuck in, like, a particular thing, it means it's a cache that's kind of just gotten junked up, and doing a full power cycle actually resets that.
Though for me, I have the space for it, but it's on the other drive usually.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I need to move stuff over to the other one to free up the space on the built-in one. Yeah. Because there's also like the thing where it'll need like 250 megs free for it to do a save or whatever caching thing it needs to do to start up a game.
Yeah.
Like that sort of stuff. That's annoying. Because it seems like sometimes it's bigger for other games and it's small for others. I don't know. But yeah, that's been annoying. But on PS4, I've been playing actually a lot of Fortnite, the Battle Royale stuff specifically, because they put out their new Battle Pass Season 3, which is an interesting thing that they're doing. It's, if any of you know about Dota 2's, I don't know what they call it. It's like a, whenever they have one of their major esport events, they put out this like kind of interactive program that has like a lot of information on the people that are in it, the groups that are in it and all that. But also has a part of it where you play the game, you level it up, and you get sort of cosmetic rewards out of that. But along with that, you can also pay to buy levels for that. Which you imagine that a lot of people do that because a lot of that stuff tends to be higher priced on the Steam Marketplace.
Yeah.
So they can potentially make their money back or find out they wasted tons of money on it. That's kind of the system they have here, except you can buy the levels, but there's kind of two different versions of it. There's the free one, which you get a reward like every 5 levels, something like that. Or if you pay them, like it's about $10, you get access to the paid version of it, which you get one. Get bonuses like every level you upgrade it. You can also buy levels. A lot of it's cosmetic stuff like new outfits, emotes, dances. It just added like trails as a thing. So when you're falling out of the party bus, you can have a trail follow you, which I don't know if that's necessarily a great thing. Makes it easier for people to see you. but it's still a pretty cool thing. Because ultimately, I think it doesn't really matter. Because you're going to kill them or not. Mm-hmm. Even if they know you're around, doesn't necessarily mean they get the step on you. But yeah, there are also like XP boosts and such you can get out of that as well. But you can also earn the currency. It's like V-Bucks, I think it's called. I think I looked at it. It's like 950 V-Bucks to get in, which is about 10 bucks if you don't have it to buy enough for that. But if you bought any of the previous ones, you could have also earned V-Bucks from that to make this essentially free. Which then I think you can also earn like about 1,000 V-Bucks out of that. So you can kind of keep it potentially going for each next one, each of the next ones.
Yeah. As long as you jack up the price menu.
Yeah, that and you just play enough. But it's pretty cool. The game's been a lot of fun. Just for the free one, they add like extra challenges, things to do. Like I had one that's just, you know, survive, you know, X amount of people, like survive longer into the matches. So like you died number 20, you survived, you know, 80 people.
Right.
It was like 1,000 total, I think. So just keep playing and don't die the first out of every single match. You'll eventually get it.
Yeah.
So I get to complete like 4 of these challenges out of this list. And I'm almost, I got 2 done. I got 2 more that are on the way. One's just play 50 matches. Like I can do that. The other one is, I think, do like 5,000 points of damage, which I can probably do that. It's not too bad, but you get levels out of that stuff as well as XP. XP is not really useful. It's more just, there's like a count level and there's a level for the season, which is one of the challenges on there as well. So like there's a reason to keep going. Like the longer you last in a match, you get more XP.
Yeah.
And if you die, it's like one of the first few people, which is not hard because tons of people die real fast.
Yeah.
Because they go into populated areas, whereas I go that way. That thing is out of the way. I'm going to go over there and kind of get built up and kill one person and die in like the final 15, 10 every time. I've gotten down to like the final 2 or 3 and just fucked it up right at the end.
Whoops.
Which is fun, but I just want to get the one win at some point.
Mm.
I've had moments where I was like one of the final 3 and I heard the other 2 take a shot. I was like, I'm going to hang out at this house and let them just kill each other and see if I can take out the last one. And no, I fucked that up. But yeah, it's really fun as a spin on the whole thing. I just don't do much of the building stuff.
It's weird because everybody that I talk to that's playing Fortnite right now has basically taken part and is playing the Battle Royale.
Yeah, though they're probably not winning because the people I see near the end are just building tons of ramps. Ramps and like weird towers around themselves are really hard to break into with just a gun.
Yeah.
It's like those people that are able to do that stuff really fast and spur of the moment are the ones that are winning, I think. Yeah. And that's a really interesting strategy. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, but then you risk the next circle being out of that out of that area.
Yeah.
And you're stuck trying to break out without
anybody seeing
in the obvious tower. It's a really fun game, really interesting, and I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. It just kind of makes me wonder who else is going to have interesting stuff coming out of this genre.
Hmm.
So I think H1Z1 just announced their like car-based Battle Royale game mode that they're adding to now that they're out of Early Access, which is kind of an interesting thing. They're saying it's like Twisted Metal meets PUBG. Though I also like getting their press release spouts going out of Early Access. It's like, oh, we're... Yeah, here it is. The launch of H1Z1, the original standalone Battle Royale game that sparked a worldwide phenomenon. Like, no, you're not the one that sparked it, but yeah, you were there before PUBG.
Yeah.
But that's some good word vomit of spinning that.
Revisionist history.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we were there before. It's like, yeah, nobody cared, really. But yeah, it's pretty good. I'm looking forward to playing some more. And otherwise, it's been interesting this week. We had 3 whole days of no rain or anything.
Mm.
It rained yesterday, and then that turned into snow overnight. So we got actually like 3 or 4 inches of snow. But you wouldn't have known it from looking around, except if you look at like people's cars. Because of the rain, made it so that the snow didn't really stick to the ground.
Hmm.
But people's cars had like 3, 4, or 5 inches of snow on them. It's a really interesting thing to see. by the time I got home from work, you could hardly tell it snowed at all, which is really weird.
Almost.
Yeah. We got off a lot better than other people on the East Coast.
Oh, yes. Especially up northeast.
And Ireland, I think, got hit real bad with their own snowstorm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I saw a story that had hundreds of cars got stranded on the highway in the snow. They didn't really heed the words like, hey, you should probably get home before like 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Stay home for the weekend because you're not getting out.
Nope.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's March. I mean, that's sort of you. This is basically how it always happens when March starts. We always get these weird weather phenomenon because it's winter trying to get into spring and winter isn't quite ready to go away just yet.
Yeah.
It's a little drunk.
Yeah.
It's like that annoying house guest that won't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So, as for me, I'm still making my way through Kingdom Come Deliverance. I've already started working on my review, and I hope to have it posted Sunday night. It's hard not to turn the whole review into a giant history lesson because so much of the game is about explaining the time period that you're in and how it relates to the actual game. In my part of my review, I basically have written, like, before we go any further, a brief history lesson, and said brief history lesson is like three paragraphs.
Thousand words later.
But it's still fun. There are still some bugs and glitches here and there that I'm running into, and I have had the game crash on me once or twice. Hmm. So, and this is on my PS4, by the way. So, But other than that, I'm pretty much still enjoying my free Netflix. I'm probably going to become a permanent subscriber now. And I finished the second season of BoJack Horseman, and holy shit, that season is a freaking roller coaster of emotions. Because there are parts that are hilarious and there are parts that are just downright depressing. And it's like, holy shit, man, and how could you fall down this far? And it can be kind of hard to watch sometimes. I'm not going to lie. It just helps that it's also insanely laugh out loud funny at times too. Yeah. So it helps. But also I've, tonight I'm going to start the last episode of Altered Carbon, which is episode 10. They start, this is like the last half of the show is when they start having to change some plot points and stuff around from the actual book. The way some characters work and the way, you know, they're characterized. One of the things is, like, I don't know if you remembered in the book, the hotel that Takeshi Kovac stays in, the one that's inhabited by an AI that's basically Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, apparently for the show they had some tie up with Hendrix's estate. It was like some legal thing. So instead they replaced him with Edgar Allan Poe. And for some weird reason it works really well. and then, you know, Takeshi's sister gets involved and it's clusterfuck of madness is what it is.
That was great.
Oh yeah, it's good. Finally, other than that, the freaking pollen. It's out there. All those trees stealing my oxygen.
Trees are providing you with oxygen.
Oh yeah, they're taking my carbon dioxide. I forgot. All these trees stealing my carbon dioxide.
Well, they're just making it harder for you to breathe.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, okay. So, Has anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on? All right, then. Well, it's time now, once again, for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, I'm going to do a sort of a random factoid that's kind of a PSA, kind of a public service. Mostly because it's something that I am shocked that people still fall for, even though we've known it's a total phony since at least 1920. But for some reason, it still manages to crop up, and there are still people stupid enough to fall for it. I'm talking about the infamous booklet written by one Matthew Golovinix named The Prodigals of the Learned Elders of Zion. This name might be familiar to you if you've ever had to, like me, going about your fash-bashing activities. It is probably the most infamous anti-Semitic canard ever produced in human history. And it's also a total fraud. Like, it's a hoax, and a very... Not only is it a hoax that has been so thoroughly debunked and twisted around, and we've actually got sources of this shit. We can actually trace back where it originated, where it is now, and yet people still fall for it. So today, well, tonight, unless we can, I'm going to go ahead and tell you really quickly, in just a few minutes, what this hoax is, where it came from, and why you shouldn't believe a goddamn word it says. Are we ready?
Yep.
Here we go. So, the Prodigals can basically be traced back to the time of the French Revolution. In 1797, a Jesuit by the name of Abbé Barriel, who's French, he published a treatise blaming the revolution on a quote-unquote Masonic conspiracy. Now, you guys know what I mean by Masonic, right?
The secret society, apparently.
Freemasons,
yeah. Yeah.
For the record, but according to those who don't actually have family members who are Freemasons.
Yeah.
For the record, I actually have a few family members and who are Freemasons. I've been in a Masonic lodge. Trust me, the conspiracy is far more interesting than the actual reality.
Yeah.
But anyway, now it's important to point out that Barriel actually does not blame the Jews in this particular treatise. Now, in 1806, he did produce a forged letter that claimed that there was a Jewish role in the supposed conspiracy, but this was years after the fact. Now, as for the actual text of the Prodigals themselves, they were actually the creation of the Akrana. The Akrana, for those of you who don't know, was the secret police of the Tsar of Russia. They had a section that operated out of France. And the head of the Akrana's French division, one Peter Rakovsky, got a hold of a gentleman by the name of Golovinsky. And the problem was, as you see, is Rakovsky was jealous of one Sergei Witte, who was a relatively liberal policymaker who had the ear of the Tsar. I believe at the time it was Tsar, let's see, this was late 1800s, so I think it was Tsar Alexander. I want to say Tsar Alexander. I don't want to say Tsar Nicholas. It might have been Tsar Nicholas's father. It was one of them. But anyway, he decided he wanted to gain the Tsar's attention by somehow proving that liberalism and modernism were plots by the Jews. So he came up with this idea of writing a fake transcript of the events at so-called what was the quote-unquote first Zionist Congress at Basel. So he contacted Golovinsky, who was an operative for the Akrana, and he asked him to write a transcript, quote-unquote transcript. So around that same time, after the document was put together, it was shown to the Tsar by a guy named Sergius Nilius, who was a self-proclaimed mystic, not unlike Rasputin. The document formed a selection of... The document formed a section of Sergius Nilius's later book called The Great Within the Small and Antichrist, an Imminent Political Possibility, Notes of an Orthodox Believer. The Tsar are, being a complete idiot, swallowed this shit hook, line, and sinker. Years later, however, we were later to find out that much of the material of the Prodigals was actually lifted and plagiarized wholesale from a bunch of different books. There is a satirical pamphlet called Dialogue in Hell Between Machiavelli and Montague, which is a French satirical pamphlet written by Maurice Joly in 1864. It was basically meant to be a satire and a protest of Napoleon III and his regime. This was right around after the time of the Paris Commune, and after they fell, and so this hardcore reactionary regime led by Napoleon III came into power. At the time, it had no racial or religious theme. Now, the thing is, this dialogue may have even been plagiarized even earlier from an earlier work that plagiarized that actually attacked the Jesuits. In fact, the truth is, you can actually take this play, this particular pamphlet, take it, and then take the parts of the Prodigals, put it side to side, and you can very definitely tell the parts they plagiarized from. Like, it's extremely obvious. And I believe also, they don't mention it here, but there was a novel that was written right around this time that had a part that was supposed to be like this. It had this weird fantastical part in the middle of it. And keep in mind, this novel is fiction. It had this part in it where supposedly all the Jews gather and meet up with Satan, and it was some weird shit like that. But they even took that part of the book and plagiarized it for the Prodigals as well. Now, like I pointed out, this pamphlet has been shown as a forgery at least as far back as 1921, specifically by a journalist named Philip Percival Graves, who was writing for the Times. And there was even a pamphlet that came out that same year in 1921, written by one Lucien Wolf, called The Myth of the Jewish Menace in World Affairs, and basically debunks the entire protocol wholesale. Then in 1935, a judge in Switzerland actually ruled the pamphlet to be a forgery. So again, we've known this thing is a fake for almost a century now. Fall for it, yeah. If you want to read something that's actually a really good debunking of the Prodigals, and it's also just a good fun read, Will Eisner, the guy who created The Spirit and also one of the originators of the graphic novel, one of the last things he published was a graphic novel called The Plot, and it's basically a graphic novel retelling of the origins of the Prodigals and how it came into existence. So there it is. Prodigals were nothing more than an anti-Semitic canard created by the Tsar's secret police solely for the existence of trying to convince the Tsar that liberals are in cahoots with the Jews. It's a load of bullshit. It's always been a load of bullshit, and yet people still manage to fall for it. And that has been a special episode of Brandon's Random Factoid. Okay. Now, it's now time for the show proper, everybody. All right, so, as always, we have to start with our asshole of the week. And this week, it's none other than Vladimir Putin, who basically has decided that he's going to do a little bit, get in on the whole nuclear dick-waving contest, and basically shows off his amazing nuclear toys to the whole world, including what looks like a demonstration video that seemed to show nuclear warheads heading towards the state of Florida.
Lovely. Yeah, where the president will be playing golf.
Yeah. There's really not much more we can add to that.
If you didn't think we were in a new Cold War, here it is.
Yeah. Nice timing, Vladdy. Yeah. Ooh, minutes. Midnight. Screwed. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of the part of uh, there there's been, like, people have been theorizing why exactly Putin's doing this and why specifically Russia has sort of upped their nuclear arsenal in recent years. It might partly be, you know, pieces, you know, the acts of irredentism they've done in Crimea and the Ukraine and Georgia, you know. There's all, you know, their involvement in Syria. Also the fact that for their population size, their economy is about on the level of Australia. Keep in mind that Australia is like a country of like, what, 10 million people? And Russia is like over 100 million.
A little disproportionate there.
So to get us, get that piece out of our mouth, we have our hero of the week. And our heroes of the week are the kids of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, who won the state hockey title, dedicated title to the victims of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. This is, of course, the high school in Parkland where the Parkland shooter was.
Yep.
Yeah, they had 17 players, so they got 17 medals and put one on each of the memorials they had at the school. And the way they actually ended up winning this title was pretty neat. They were down 0-3
mm-hmm.
in the tournament. Had two elimination games, won both of those. Got to the title game and managed to win 7-4. So it was a pretty good comeback for them.
Mm.
Yeah, well, comeback and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they weren't even sure they were going to be playing at all if they had it, if they were up for that. But ended up deciding they wanted to go play.
Mm-hmm. All right. Congrats to them. Holy shit, they deserve it. Yeah, a couple of weeks. Oh, man. Yeah, that's those kids are going to have stories to tell their grandkids.
Yeah.
Because, holy shit, that's like... That is going to be a generation-defining event there, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to move on to the proper show proper, and it kind of ties in to what we were talking about earlier with Parkland shooting. The governor of Rhode Island is the first to sign a red flag policy.
Governor Gina Raimondo signed an executive order on Monday to essentially allow law enforcement to consider, they say, quote, all red flags, including recent threats of violence made in person, in videos, on social media, and take all available legal steps to remove firearms from any person who poses a threat to themselves or others.
Mm.
So it's not a law, but sort of the next best thing they can do right now.
Yeah,
I believe they are working on legislation to ban assault weapons.
Mm.
But at least for right now, this is what they have. I'm the first state in the country to have one of these.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, the concept of states' rights in America isn't really it's honestly not really a serious ideological current. It's an excuse. That people try to use. But yeah, good for them, I guess. So for those who are wondering just what a red flag policy is in general, basically it's meant to prevent that if a person tries to get a gun and there's like a bunch of signs, a quote unquote red flags that could imply that this person is a serious danger to themselves and others, they can be refused, you know, a gun, a permit, and a firearm. So, unfortunately, this is only in the state of Rhode Island, not the rest of the U.S. Hopefully, it'll spread.
It's got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how a lot of this stuff tends to happen. A lot of the serious stuff like this in the U.S., this is kind of the pattern it goes. It starts up in one state, then some other states follow suit. Then one state has an issue with it, then it goes up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court decides whether or not it's constitutional.
Yeah.
That's basically how all this stuff goes. But anyway.
Meanwhile, in Florida.
Because it's Florida. the Florida legislature recently created the school martial program to arm teachers.
Yeah, so seems like no law was passed here, but the House Appropriations Committee approved this thing they're calling the School Marshals Law Program that is going to train teachers to carry guns in class under the direction of local law enforcement. $67 million going to go to these schools, which they're already underfunded, and this is how they have to get the money.
What could possibly go wrong?
Serious.
And,
instead of spending money on like stuff that would be useful for the education of the students, they spend money on teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
Their priorities fucked up.
Yeah.
The other part of this program, the bill that they passed for this, poses a 3-day waiting period for gun purchases, raises the age to buy any gun from 18 to 21, and gives police more power to seize guns from people who threaten themselves or others. And most of the money for the Marshall Program would be spent on training. The bill doesn't address whether teachers would be provided guns or would have to buy them. That would be decided locally by school boards, superintendents, you know, great things they should be deciding on.
Yeah.
Let's see. The goal is 10 marshals in every school. These are teachers trained to carry a gun, which equates to 37,000 statewide. The state would cover the cost of background checks, drug testing, psychological exams, and 132 hours of training. The bill does provide a one-time $500 stipend for those who volunteer to have a gun. The bill also calls for spending $400 million, put a school resource officer in every school, improve mental health counseling, make public school buildings safer. So yeah, they're kind of doing everything but the one thing people want, which is to ban assault weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before anyone says anything, because I've had this argument thrown at me too, to a small extent, the term assault weapon is kind of a vague term. That doesn't mean that those types of weapons aren't necessarily more dangerous or should be more controlled. Okay? Just because I get that argument thrown at me, like, you know, well, assault weapons, that just means you want to ban guns that sound scary. No, I would rather control guns where one person can put on a buttstock and kill 200 people in a matter of 15 minutes.
Yeah, there's a general classification those guns fall under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some stupid people on Twitter be like, well, you can kill people with a knife. That's an assault weapon. It's like, no, it's not. That's
to be completely honest, yeah, we need to be really honest, though. We need to come up with another term than assault weapon.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't really describe the issue particularly well enough.
Yeah.
It's
probably actually how it's supposed to be for what the guns rights people want to obfuscate all of this. Yeah.
Also, by the way, killing someone with a knife requires far more skill than it takes killing someone with an AR-15.
And you're not going to be able to kill 50 people in a few minutes.
No.
Not without somehow tons of people being completely unaware of what's going on.
Or hemophiliacs.
Yeah, or you just...
manage to hit an artery every damn time.
Yeah, or just find a bunch of people that are, you know, asleep.
Yeah.
In some way that people are not aware of anything that's going on.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's Florida for you.
Yeah.
All states ass backwards. I should know. I've been there. There's something about living in the heat and the humidity and the swamp areas, it just does something to your brain.
I bet.
Yeah. It draws a certain type of people to it.
Yeah. I also wouldn't make any jokes about, you know, it's in the drinking water, but have you ever tasted the drinking water in Florida?
I'm happy to say I haven't.
Yeah, you're lucky. it's basically half salt. But anyway, all right. So, as the following up on our next story, as the overall image of the NRA has taken, hopefully, a mortal wound after the Parkland shooting, a bunch of retailers are stepping up their own gun control programs. Basically, they've decided that they're going to start, you know, instituting new rules on, you know, age limits of when you can purchase a gun. And they're also pledged to just altogether stop selling certain guns in their stores.
Yeah.
The first is Dick's Sporting Goods, who were, I think they were actually the first.
They were the first, and their statement was pretty interesting because they said they had sold a shotgun to the Parkland shooter. Obviously not the gun that was used for the attacks, but nevertheless, I guess the CEO or whoever it was said he was not very pleased to find out about that information.
Yeah.
That really pushed him to push for these big changes. I think they had already banned automatic rifles in their store. They were pushing for adding some more to that, as well as, I think one of their sister stores they own, Field & Stream Stores, is also going to be stopping selling assault rifles.
Yeah. They're the ones that were actually selling them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they raised the minimum age from 18 to 21, and they're going to stop selling. What else? I forgot what else. I think they were going to stop selling high capacity ammo, something like that.
Yeah, and I think some of these places may have at one point sold bump stocks, and I think they've.
Think it says here. Oh, that's for Walmart.
Yeah, we'll go ahead. Hope That Helps also jumped in.
Yeah. So in Dick's statement, they also put out like, hey, these are things we hope Congress passes for common sense gun reform. You know, like banning assault-style firearms, raising the minimum age, ban high-capacity magazines, bump stocks, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Universal background check system to be fixed. And ensure a complete universal database, so those banned from buying firearms, and closing the loopholes. Thank you very much. Because I think there was a story about some guy in Florida turning over his AR-15 to the police department.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how he had arranged sale for this from an online forum. Then met him at the parking lot of a Cracker Barrel. Like, this is all completely legal in the state. So, sort of how that kind of... realizing that that's how he got it sort of freaked him out.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided he was going to just turn his in because he wasn't going to use it for self-defense or anything like that.
Yeah. Something else that would really help if they started cracking down on straw buys. You guys know what a straw buy is? That's the major issue that Illinois has, especially Chicago, because basically people in Chicago has like some of the strictest gun control laws in the U.S., and yet they still have like the big murder capital in the U.S. apparently. And, you know, people use that as like, well, see, gun control doesn't work. No. The problem is that the people who do this, instead, they actually go out of state to like Indiana, buy the gun there, and then bring it back in. That's a straw buy.
Yeah, because having gun control in the city doesn't mean anything if you can just go out of the city and get your guns.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not
like
a
saying
you
can't buy alcohol in this city and I can just go to the next town over and go get beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you had to have a valid state ID to be able to buy a gun in that state.
Yeah. In Canada. Yeah, Canada has gun control. They've also got just about as many guns as we do, and yet they don't have the mass shootings that we do. Huh. I wonder why. Or some asshole pops
up. The maple syrup.
Of course, there'll be one asshole pops up. It's because they're mostly white. No. Yeah. So other than Dick's, we've also got Walmart has spoken up. They're going to stop selling AR-15s in their stores, and they're also going to institute the 21 age limit.
Yeah, they're also going to stop selling non-lethal airsoft guns and toys. So they even go on that far, which would be the problem with, you know, the Tamir Rice shooting.
Yeah.
He had a gun that was like airsoft little toy gun.
Yeah, it was. Because you have to remember, here in the U.S., and I'm guessing in most other parts of the world to a certain extent, toy guns in the U.S., if they are made in a certain way that makes them look pretty realistic, they have to come with an orange tip.
Yeah.
Or an orange cap on the end, just so that if that somebody sees them with them, they can see the orange cap and see it's fake. What happened with Tamir is that he had actually managed to take the cap off of his.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that it really matters because, you know, he's a 12-year-old. You know, honestly, it doesn't really matter because they didn't even give him enough time to explain shit. They pulled up and then 2 seconds later he was dead.
The one cop that shot him should not have even been hired.
Yeah.
Because they had not done a full background check on him.
Mm-hmm. And
major red flags. Hey, red flags. Should get them away from guns.
Mm-hmm. So, other than Walmart, we've also got Kroger / Fred Meyer, which is strange because
it's Kroger that owns is like the whole brand, the whole corporation. This is specifically dealing with the Fred Meyer stores,
which I think are in Alaska.
They're in 4 states. I'm not sure which states they are in. Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and I'm not sure what the other one is. But they're essentially kind of like the Walmart of that brand.
Yeah.
So I know Kroger owns like Fry's grocery stores and some other stuff.
Kroger actually owns a lot of it. So.
Yeah, they're sort of like the Hardee's and Carl's Jr., like how those are the same store, but same sort of fast food place, but just different branding.
Yeah.
It's sort of the same where it's just, here's your grocery store. It's owned by the same company, but in some areas it's called one thing and others it's called a different thing.
Yeah.
Like out here in the U.S., it's Burger King. Up in Canada, it's Hungry Jack's.
Yeah. Let's see. They're going to be raising the minimum age.
Mm-hmm.
It's already illegal for licensed gun sellers to sell handguns to anyone under 21, but rifles do not have that kind of limitation, so... Mm-hmm. They're obviously raising it on their own end. Yeah. I'm not sure what else. Yeah, they're going to stop selling assault-style rifles. No longer accept any special orders for those weapons at its stores in Alaska.
Mm.
And they're going to start scaling back their gun departments at some stores due to softer demand and changing customer preferences.
Yeah. And then finally, we got L.L. Bean. Which I actually did not know sold weapons, but...
Yeah, I thought they were just, like, clothing.
Yeah,
but apparently they do.
Yeah.
They're all doing the 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They had 37 stores in 17 states. One of its main flagship store in Fremont, Maine, has a license to sell firearms. It does not sell any hunting rifles or ammunition on its website, although it does sell some accessories, rifle bags and gun lockers. Yeah, I think they're just raising the age limit for rifles to 21. But yeah. So a lot of this stuff, like, I saw a lot of people that did not live in the U.S., like, why the hell is a grocery store selling guns? It's hunting. There's a huge culture of hunting, especially in...
rural areas.
Yeah. And that's because we got that sort of set up here in the Walmart.
Yeah.
It's always a little bit weird, but it's also like tons of hunting equipment around. All that
a lot style, of sporting style. Goods in general.
Yeah. Sporting goods are like right near that with the bikes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all hunting stuff.
Probably yeah.
They're not like a gun store.
No, it's mostly they're basically selling hunting rifles.
That's where it also gets you like your bait for fishing and all that stuff as well.
Yeah.
Like you're hunting, you're fishing, your hiking and all that stuff. Walmart's like 15 stores in one. It's a weird thing, but
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah. But it's interesting, you know, this really is like a big sea change here. Something about this particular shooting has really sort of
just because the people that survived it are able to actually speak out.
Yeah.
People are listening to them.
Yeah, because unfortunately that isn't what happened with a lot of the the other shootings. Columbine, in
particular. Sandy Hook. You didn't hear the kids from Columbine, the people from Pulse nightclub in Orlando, or even the Las Vegas shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it from like one of the performances, one of the groups performing, but that's about it.
But like when this one happened, the kids were pretty much the same day calling bullshit on the whole gun lobby in general.
It's almost like the NRA has radicalized them, but against themselves.
Yeah. Yep. And also the fact that, these retailers are already taking this initiative, probably because they can kind of see which way the wind's blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is just realizing that public opinion is finally turning where maybe they shouldn't be so outwardly potentially serving potential killers in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that helps.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that once that age 21 limit becomes like a thing nationwide, you'll see a definite difference, like an almost immediate effect. But moving on from there,
I was going to go into Hope That Helps.
Yeah.
Because they, as they do, opened up a fake Dick's Sporting Goods account and started trolling people who were going into the actual Dick's Sporting Goods Facebook account to troll.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into all the ones that I have here, but there's one that just says, "So long, Dicks." The response is, we all know how difficult this will be for you, Anita. Everyone knows how much you love Dicks. Let us know if you choose to come back. the response to that was, "Nope, not going to happen. You at Dicks drank the Lib Kool-Aid and too many places just shop that support that have American values." The response, "I'm sure there are some school shooters you can get in touch with that have info on where the best deals are at."
And I think I saw that the people running Dick's Sporting Goods were concerned about the hate they would get. They actually got a lot of people coming into stores sort of thanking them for the changes and offering them like donuts and gifts and other stuff like
And get this. Dick's Sporting Goods has actually been letting Hope That Helps do whatever they want to do on their Facebook page. They haven't been moderating it or anything.
Yeah. And they've also sold a lot of basketballs. There's a lot of people who are wanting changes at Dick's Sporting Goods have been basketballs and donating the sporting goods.
Yeah.
So,
Says while your stores start seeing random piles of dog shit on the floors, you'll know why. The response is, "Thomas, if your dog shits on our floor, we'll shoot it."
bit by bit, we marginalize the gun nuts the best we can. But I'm so happy this shit's finally happening.
Yeah, me too.
But now on to something not so good and is straight out of my home state. Our lieutenant governor has basically threatened Delta Airlines over their over a tax break that they were going to give them after Delta severed their ties with the NRA, specifically their discount that they gave the NRA members.
Did you see how many people took advantage of that discount? They said they had only had it. Yeah, only had it for a few years, and it's just for going to the NRA conference in Dallas.
Yep.
So they had 30 people take advantage of it. So.
That's not 1,300, not 13,000. 13.
That is a baker's dozen.
Yep.
That's not much money lost in their part.
No. And because, you know, our leaders are a bunch of assholes, they've said they're basically threatening Delta to remove this tax break.
The tax break was for jet fuel. Essentially, the beneficiary would be Delta.
Yep.
Because they basically own the airport down there.
Yep. the way, also happens to be one of the bigger employers in the state of Georgia, I'd like to point out.
Yep, and states have already started lining up to offer Delta a new home.
Yeah.
Yeah, starting I don't think they're gonna move.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other Republicans in their legislature actually did put the little exception to get rid of that, and that passed. Mm. The governor basically came out and said, "Man, you're a fucking idiot," to the lieutenant governor.
Governor Nathan Deal, yeah.
Yeah. Basically said, "It's the fucking election year. What are you fucking idiots doing?" And said they're going to restore that in another bill.
Yeah.
But yeah, the notion that he has to come out and actually just tell these idiots, stop being fucking idiots, says a lot about where those people are at.
Yeah. See, Nathan Deal is like your typical Republican asshole, but he's at least smart enough to know who pays his bills.
Yeah, he doesn't get heated. Like,
yeah.
You know, the NRA pays us money. We can't have anybody disrespecting them.
Yeah. He's Georgia right now has a sort of a growing film industry down here now, and Nathan Deal's trying to do everything he can to make the state, like, sort of, you know, attractive to future, you know, entertainment
make
providers.
Sure Disney and AMC and others stick mm-hmm. around.
Yeah.
It'd be like if the lieutenant governor just said, you know, fuck Coke. Fuck those assholes.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
you know what?
Yeah,
fuck Atlanta Braves. Get the fuck out of here, you assholes.
And you know what? Screw peaches. While we're at it.
Yeah, we don't need to grow those either, so.
Fuck the Georgia Bulldogs. Fuck
it. Oh, God. If he did everything. That, you would see the Civil War begin tonight.
Yeah.
Again. Because there is a lot of things Georgians will tolerate, but if you take a shit on the Bulldogs, holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll think the L.A. riots were bad. But, anyway. Now, on to a just hysterically unusual story out of Pennsylvania. So there's a, here in the U.S., and I guess most of the world, but for whatever reason, particularly here in the U.S., there's this little religious cult that we have here in the U.S. that's called the Unification Church. Or, as it's usually known pejoratively, the Moonies. Because it was founded by a guy named the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, who claimed that he was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ and that he was the Messiah.
As you do.
Yeah. He was also really thick with American politicians, in particular Republicans, the GOP. He actually founded a newspaper called the Washington Times that is still owned and operated by the Moonie Church. It has operated at a loss since it's begun, and yet it still exists. And so you have this weird combination of both conservative American politics and religious nuttery. So, of course, they had a mass commitment ceremony where they blessed AR-15s.
And it's as crazy looking as you think.
Yeah. So here's what you need to know. One of the things that the Moonies are famous for are these giant mass wedding ceremonies that they have. Because basically in the Unification Church, you don't go on dates. You get into a marriage that is arranged for you. In fact, it's not unusual for people married within the church to have only met their spouses 2 or 3 days before the actual ceremony. And because, again, the Unification is that weird combination of religious nuttery and conservative politics, this time they decided to have this mass wedding ceremony that also acted as a giant mass blessing for the AR-15.
And they're wearing robes, crowns. I think I saw some that had bullet crowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what happens when you mix up your religious beliefs with your politics.
Yeah.
It gets into this mess of oily water that doesn't mix at all and just makes you look like a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, they've been very thoroughly ridiculed during this process.
Yeah, I think the ones
they're
with
very
the crown...
thoroughly ridiculed all the time.
Yeah, I think the ones with the crowns are actually members of the Moon family themselves.
I don't know. There's tons of them in this picture.
Yeah, because the thing is, at one time, because for those who don't know, Moon is actually dead. He died back in, I think, 2010. Yeah. But a few years before he died, there was this big, like, ceremony that was made for him, that was done for him on Capitol Hill with a bunch of congressmen in attendance. And one of the things that happened in that ceremony is him and his wife were crowned king and queen of the universe.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, this whole ceremony ended up causing one of the nearby schools to say, yeah, we're not going to go to class today.
Yeah, we're not taking any chances.
We don't need any of these crazy people accidentally shooting somebody, though. I think it said it was they're unloaded.
Mm-hmm.
But you can never trust these sort of people.
No.
Nope. Not at all.
You just need one of them to be like, oh, I thought I unloaded this. Boom.
Mm. No. Yeah. Seriously. Honestly, that is far more common than you will want to think it is.
Oh, yeah, don't.
I think one of the
don't try to look up news stories of kids accidentally shooting their parents.
Yeah,
accidents like that.
Mm-hmm. Or parents accidentally shooting their kids.
Yeah.
See, you start to realize that for the gun nuts, for people that are apparently really obsessed with guns, they're apparently not really that up on their proper gun safety and operation. Yeah. All right. Now on to some good news. The Supreme Court has declined to hear Trump's appeal to end the DACA program.
Yay.
Yeah, so this isn't necessarily the great news that it seems like. They're essentially deciding to put their own statement out for this.
Mm-hmm.
To like make a decision on this. They're essentially saying, we're going to trust the lower courts. Decisions on this.
Yeah.
Which they're still going through with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying to Congress, like, you guys should fucking make a deal on this. Hmm. Just fucking end this whole shit show that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that they're, like, declining. So,
Yeah.
Like, look, we got better shit to deal with.
Yeah. Docket's full as it is.
But. So, yeah. Once again, the whole thing is still up in jeopardy, so.
Yeah, it was supposed to end, I think, this week, beginning of March. Obviously, it's still going to keep going for a while, so anybody that's up for renewal should be doing it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Yes, like today. And furthermore, we got some more good news. The Democrats of California have actually, for the first time in years, declined to endorse Dianne Feinstein for 2018.
Instead went for State Senate Leader Kevin DeLeon of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
54% of the delegates' votes, Feinstein received 37, but shy of the 60% you need to secure the endorsement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and basically the reason they finally kicked her out is because she's basically the face of the establishment corporate Democrat wing of the party. Not only is she like a incumbent that's been in office since 1992, but she's one of the parts of the party that has been opposed to universal health care. She is pretty much been, she's basically never met a war she didn't like. She's been on the Intelligence Committee. She basically
been Hillary.
Yeah, she's basically Hillary, pretty much. By the way, she served as a, she's also, you know how she first became famous in the first place? She first came on the national stage as mayor of San Francisco back in 1978. Do you know what happened back in 1978 in San Francisco? Yeah, that's the year that George Moscone. Yeah, that was when George Moscone and Harvey Milk were assassinated.
Yeah.
That's how she got the mayor.
Joy.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you can guess, she's been a controversial figure inside the gay community for a long time.
Yeah.
For very obvious reasons. Yeah.
And but, I guess he still faces an uphill climb on this. Yeah. A recent public poll had him behind by 29 points.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, his fundraising is not as good as Feinstein's.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if he had won this endorsement, he would have been able to get a lot more.
Yeah.
Just through the party resources.
Yeah.
I guess she had been at the state's convention for the first time in a while.
Mm-hmm.
He was handing out to supporters tacos and horchata, cups of horchata. Mm-hmm. She was providing scrambled eggs and French toast.
I would go with the guy that's just if I'm, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this is San Francisco. If you ain't handing out tacos, just don't talk to me, man.
Yeah.
And in case, but the reason people are worried is because, you know, he's, you know, they've got the what's going to be the potential Republican opponent, and if you don't think that there aren't any wing nuts in California,
there are plenty of wing nuts in California.
Yeah, the whole governor race when Arnold got elected.
Yeah,
he was.
How do you think he won in the first? Like, how do you think he got elected in the first place? Here's the thing. So if you remember playing GTA 5, remember when you get out of Los Santos and you end up out in the desert?
Yeah.
And it's basically filled with a bunch of hillbilly degenerates?
Yep. That's the rest of California.
That's... Because people forget, you know, when you think California, people are usually thinking of, like, the urban areas, like, yeah. You know, San Francisco or Los Angeles.
They're not thinking of Bakersfield.
No.
Or Bakersfield or Oakland. Well, I was going to say Oakland, but Oakland's a different part.
Yeah, it's different. And you just don't want to drive there.
Yeah.
No.
Be there in any capacity.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders aren't even going to stick around there anymore, so. Yeah. Shout out to all of our listeners in Oakland.
All right.
All right, so this next story, it kind of became like a big deal, but I think people kind of took it the wrong way because they didn't really look a little closer at it. So over in China, in the People's Republic of China, the Communist Party has announced that they're seeking to remove term limits so that the current leader Xi Jinping can serve longer. This, if you heard this like on the basis, you get it kind of understandably concerned.
With a mostly capitalist economy underneath it.
It does need. It's a bit more complicated than that. So let me explain. The term limits they're specifically referring to for Xi Jinping actually doesn't have to do with his major current position, which is premier. It has to do with his term limit as president. Now, keep in mind that although China is essentially a one-party dictatorship, that one party still operates under parliamentary procedure. Much like Canada does. And, you know, England, pretty much every other country that has a parlamentary system. Now, those who remember, parliamentary systems also have presidents. But, unlike our presidents in the U.S., presidents in parliaments generally don't have a whole lot of power. And that is the specific... they've only got certain powers that they can work with within the actual parliament itself. And that's the term limits they're seeking to get rid of for Xi. It's not his actual premier position. Now, if they were saying that they were going to get rid of term limits for his premier position, then you should get worried. It's possible. Xi's been kind of compared to a lot of the past leaders of the party, Xi's been kind of a wild card because on the one hand, he's really, like, serious on the idea of, like, bringing in more, neoliberal stuff into their economy. But at the same time, he's also, like, super into Mao Zedong thought. So, like, he's on one hand, he's a serious hardliner ideologically, but he's also a super pragmatist. So,
that seems a bit of a dichotomy.
Yeah, but this is China we're talking about. So, but anyway, So next up, we got some economic stories. So for those who don't know, this week President Trump has announced that they're going to be imposing some more tariffs on the importation of steel and aluminum. And amongst other things, that's going to lead to higher beer prices.
Watch this be what does it.
No, you don't raise the price of our
don't
beer.
Fuck with beer.
Yeah. I would like to think that's not what does it, but...
But at this point, I wouldn't be surprised. It's like nothing really surprises me. That...
Yeah. Hmm. But, you see, the idea behind the tariffs is the tariffs are supposed to be so prohibitively expensive that it's supposed to essentially force industry within the U.S. to buy American-made steel and aluminum. Now, whether or not it's actually going to work out that way is another thing entirely, but
it might work
other than
that way and still end up with higher beer prices, so...
Yeah. Either way, beer is going to be more expensive, so...
Yeah, and I guess here's a statement from MillerCoors, who said they're pretty much in opposition to the decision. Like most brewers, we're selling an increasing amount of our beers in aluminum cans. This action will cause aluminum prices to rise. Is likely to lead to job losses across the beer industry. We buy as much domestic canned sheet aluminum as we can. However, there simply isn't enough to satisfy the demands of American beverage makers like us, American workers, and American consumers will suffer as a result of this misguided tariff.
Yep.
So, and along with that, Trump has basically declared trade war on Canada.
Yep.
Which is pissing them off for good reason. And he's basically said he keeps trying to suggest that like countries like Canada are exploiting us all the time. They're just stealing money from us, which is not the case. I think we have a surplus in terms of the trade between the U.S. and Canada. Yeah. But he keeps saying it's like hundreds of millions of dollars that Canada owes us. Canada always says, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Yeah.
Maybe we should just stop sending you our extra...
And water. Also water.
Yeah.
Actually get a lot of water from Canada. A lot of people don't know that.
Wonders never cease.
It's job security for the podcast.
Yeah.
Beer Revolution 2018. Yeah. So now for something a little alarming. Temperatures up in the Arctic are about 20 degrees Celsius above the average right now.
Yep. So they have obviously done keeping track of the temperatures up there. March is about when they start getting sunlight up there. But an influx of warm air has pushed temperatures up there around Siberia and all that up by as much as 35 degrees Celsius above historical averages this month. Greenland has already experienced 61 hours above freezing in 2018, more than three times as many hours in any previous year. 20 degrees Celsius is... How much is that, Phil, in Fahrenheit? I'm talking about purely 20 degrees Celsius, like compared to zero. How much more is that for us in Fahrenheit?
68.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's dipped up to about the freezing temperature around the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ice that is melting is not freezing as fast as it should.
Right.
Because as we can attest, we've gotten warm lately.
Yeah.
And that warm air is obviously going up north.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that just peachy?
I wonder if that's a one-off of just the weird winter we've been having bigger.
They got a chart here showing just the how the year's gone so far, and the red lines for 2018 are pretty significantly above the blue lines of the daily mean from 1958 to 2002.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anywhere from like 5 to, in this case, about 20 above.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's yeah.
Better get your beach time in while you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Miami Beach trucks in sand every once in a while because their stuff just gets washed away.
Yeah. Yeah, Florida does that shit all the time. Seriously, if you think that global warming is going to bring an end to beach culture in Florida,
It just means beach culture is just going to come out to the inner cities.
Yeah.
The inner parts of the state.
Tourism!
Yay!
Granted, we have to sink Miami into the bottom of the sea to do it, but screw it. But Miami's a cesspool anyway. Shout out to all our listeners in Miami!
Oh my god. Fuck.
Torch the operation and run. That's my philosophy in life.
Next week's numbers? Negative.
Yeah. All right. So, all right. This next story is just hilarious. So, over in the UK, as everybody knows, weed is still illegal over there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop people from still trying to grow the stuff. So, those who don't know, UK has had some snowy weather over there,
mm-hmm.
and they've also had problems trying to root out these weed growing operations. And that actually managed to come together rather well because they managed to find a weed growing operation at this one particular house because it was the only house on this block that didn't have any snow on it.
That's got to be a fun surveillance for the cops. Like, huh, why does that one not have snow on it like everybody else? <It's> like... We're going to have to investigate this.
Yeah, you just do a sweep of the neighborhood with the thermal camera. It's like blue, 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 bright yellow. I think that might be something you might want to look into.
Yeah, so they ended up finding this house with about 80,000 pounds worth of weed plants in it, which is about $110,000 U.S. 322 plants in all four bedrooms of the property and in the cellar. Yeah, the heat from the lamps, which was used for growing the plants inside, was melting the ice and snow off the roof. Yeah, they got pictures of the operation and all that. Yeah, the PC that was investigating this tweeted that his size 10 boots came in handy when booting down the door. Mm-hmm. Removing this filth from the streets is always great. Like the morons responsible for our 80,000 pounds out of pocket is a Brucey bonus. Hashtag didn't we do well? Okay.
Hashtag it's going to be legal soon there too. Anyway, so
yeah.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah. Smoke them if you got them.
Yeah.
From the looks of this operation, they got plenty.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, they talked to the neighbors. Who said these two guys that were running this moved in about 18 months ago. I said, in the cold weather, my house is normally freezing because the insulation is rubbish. Since they moved in next door, my bathroom has been absolutely red hot. The wall was warm to the touch.
Mm-hmm.
It was suspicious. You could hear fans whirring, but no normal sounds of people living there. There were two blokes with no kids. We thought they were gay. And also, another neighbor said, over the last few days, the smell's gotten pretty strong. After the snow kept thawing on the roof, you just knew they were growing cannabis. Mm.
Must have been some dank shit.
Yeah.
That is a very British thing to say, though. It's like, we just thought they were a couple of poofters across the street. Offered them a cup of tea.
This is why you need to think this stuff through.
Yeah.
Especially when you can hear the buzz. buzzing across the street. Like,
yeah, that's why this stuff is more successful here in the U.S., because you can get houses that are away from other houses. Yeah.
Out in the middle of freaking nowhere, basically.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the illicit weed growing is such a big deal in Appalachia, because it's literally just miles and miles of trees and mountain and nothing else.
Yeah, do it in the middle of forest, not have anybody find it.
Yeah.
Next up, we got a story out of the ongoing bourgeois charade that is haute couture fashion. Dolce & Gabbana have actually used drones to model their handbags down the runway. Because of course they do.
Yep.
I don't see how this is even effective. Because, wouldn't you want to see the handbag on somebody?
A person?
You know, yeah. Would actually be wearing it instead of...
See how it fits? Does it... Mm-hmm.
Unless their play is handbags for day.
Which, then that means that humanity really is doomed and the robots are coming.
Yeah, or just, here's the handbags. We don't need to pay the models to show this stuff off.
Yeah, we're not going to pay models. Cause
yeah, we're trying.
Automation.
And the weird thing is they had to tell audience members to turn off their Wi-Fi on their phones, any personal hotspots, which I guess led to the show starting about 45 minutes late.
Somebody probably left their DS.
This was for about 7 drones that they used.
You know, that didn't work when Steve Jobs asked everybody to turn off their Wi-Fi. It never works.
I
learned from that.
How you do it is you take their phones.
Yeah.
But then you lose the actual photo part of the whole event, unless they bring in just normal cameras.
Yeah.
But once the drones were done, human models returned to show off the actual clothes. Because they haven't figured out how to do that with drones.
Yeah. They just didn't want... Was there a strike or something going on, or a union dispute, because...
I just imagine this is sort of a, this shit's expensive, so let's just keep that theme going and get some expensive drones to show this off.
Or maybe they're trying to be edgy and socially conscious.
Maybe, though, then you end up paying the operators of these drones lots of money.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they gotta be real good to keep that stuff nice and straight.
Alright, next up, we got a real blast from the past here. So, everybody here, we all saw The Matrix, right?
Yep.
Are the sisters involved?
No.
I think one of the other people that was involved in the originals is involved.
Anyway, one of the things that was famous in The Matrix that was sort of iconic was the Nokia 8110 banana phone. And guess what? Nokia is bringing it back.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of that lately. They brought back, what was the other one? This 6130 last year.
Slider.
So they're basically getting into the self-defense market.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, that phone is a brick.
Yeah.
You club somebody in the temple with it, you will drop them.
Yeah.
Like a shot buffalo.
Yeah.
So are we on the cusp of seeing flip phones making a comeback?
No,
are we
still?
And they got a real cheap option you can get at some of these.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Different ones.
Yeah, but I mean,
because this thing will
never stop making them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget my first world privileges.
Yeah.
When everybody has an iPhone, you realize most of the world can't really afford those. So.
And there are carriers that appeal to that.
Mm-hmm.
So this phone they'll have 4G connection on it, and it'll be about €79, about $100.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It goes on sale in May, which the original was about 10 times that.
Yeah.
And back in the day.
Yeah. Now, if they can, if somebody mods in, the gas cartridge that they had in the movie for so that it, opens itself when you take it out of the FedEx package, that would
be that would be neat.
Along with the black, ahead. They're also going to go in on the banana phone aspect of it and have a yellow model as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
yeah. Want to have it as yellow, you know, for the price, and it's seeing that it is kind of a stylish phone, blast from the past, and fully functional on pretty much every network, I don't see why it's a smartphone. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Yeah. Sure.
Although people like weird colors.
I'll say
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nokia's making a comeback, folks.
Yeah. Yep.
They could use some wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the whole purchase by Microsoft.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah.
That
was the biggest mistake they ever made.
Yeah, so in other communications news, Vodafone, Nokia, and Audi are coming together to build a 4G network on the surface of the moon.
Okay, I'm thinking they're skipping a few.
Yeah.
Because what required?
Well, they're partnering with the organization PT Scientists to bring a 4G network to lunar surface aboard one of SpaceX's Falcon 9 rockets.
Elon Musk is behind that.
Which adds more money for SpaceX.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're using a technology known as the Ultra Compact Network, which weighs about the same amount as a bag of sugar.
Hmm.
I guess this might eventually to potentially better network stuff on Mars. I don't know. Because we're not sending people to the moon.
Yet.
No. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there'll be like tourist stuff to the moon, but
yeah,
nothing substantial. That you need like dedicated networks there.
Yeah. Well, might be useful to survey you.
But yeah. I mean, we haven't even started colonizing the moon yet, so
It'll be a little bit scientifically, definitely possible.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's gonna be fun. All right, next up. Holy shit, we almost lost Kevin Smith this week. He had a massive heart attack, and he survived, but yeah, he was like a hair's close of losing it there.
Yeah, he was doing shows, did the first one, and sort of in the lead up to the second show, he was not feeling good. Said, we might want to cancel this and go to the hospital because this doesn't feel right.
Mm.
It's a good thing he did. He had 100% blockage of his LAD artery, which is also known as the Widowmaker.
Yep.
And
that one's almost an instant killer for most people.
And he was on Ralph Garman's Ralph Report podcast. First episode is up now, today, Friday. Mm-hmm. Part two is on Monday. Talked about how his family says, I don't want to say I feel like a dead man walking, but I do feel like I'm not supposed to be here anymore. It doesn't make me want to leave, but it makes me appreciate how, all right, let's do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how he feels like he's on borrowed time. I was supposed to be dead in that room, no doubt. I felt like, oh, this is my time to lead the party, and I'd done enough, dude. He said, I only ever wanted to make Clerks. 25 years later, I did more shit than I ever imagined. Gone on so many fucking adventures and heights and falls, plummets, up and down, everything, and I just felt like, well, the rest of your life, if you live, it's just going to kind of be more of the same, and you've done this, and be happy that you got to do it at all. You got some shit people fucking dream about or will kill themselves to try to fucking accomplish or get in their own lives, and it came to you all so easy.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is the price you pay for all that ease, checking out before age 50, that's how can you argue with that? Don't be shitty. Pay the bill. It's time. But yeah, he says he is on day 3 of being a vegetarian. Said to go all in because he lost a bunch of weight a few years ago.
Yeah.
So he's kind of just going all in that, just living a much healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, well, I mean, at his age, he had to cut back anyway because... Yeah. Once you get in your mid-40s, man, you gotta – is when – if you're not careful, shit hits the fan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Phil. This is just a reminder, Phil, that every year you're running out of life. But anyway, so yeah, Kevin Smith's still around. He's okay.
He's still got his humor.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's nice. We need somebody with positivity like him around.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe this helped inspire him to do some new projects. Because I'm going to be completely honest here. The last couple of movies she's made have not exactly been that good. Just, maybe this is, I don't know, maybe this is Heaven's way of telling you, Kevin, dude, your movies have been kind of sucking lately. Yeah. You might want to, yeah. Hmm. Oddly enough, God's a real big fan of Dogma. Apparently. But whatever. All right, this next one, I freaking love this story. So, the Oscars are going to be happening soon. Yeah. And some artists that you may know about, specifically Plastic Jesus, came about and they've installed a gold Harvey Weinstein casting couch statue near the Oscars venue.
And he's holding an Oscar on his crotch.
Yep. It's basically him sitting on a golden couch in an open robe.
Yeah.
With the Oscar on his penis.
That's,
you know.
If at all.
No. For those who don't know, the people who did the statue, they're the same people who installed those naked Trump statues back in 2016.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, now people can take selfies with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is just a nice FU to Weinstein and the scumbags in the Hollywood elite who basically enabled that bullshit to happen for so long.
Yeah,
sheltered him.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Weinstein, as you've probably been guessing, his financial fortunes have not been so good, or at least his company hasn't.
No.
In fact, his company was just about ready to declare bankruptcy, but they recently signed a very late deal and have sold their assets to an investor group.
Yeah, so the investor group is led by Maria Contreras Sweet, who was on Obama's Small Business Council. She was the head of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked her up, and it's pretty interesting. She founded, what was it called? She founded one of the banks. Let me see what it says here. Pro America Bank, which is one that was focused on small business startups, especially Latino startups.
Mm.
So yeah, essentially the woman that owns the Weinstein Company is a Latina woman.
Hmm. That is...
No irony there.
Nope. It's like rain.
At least those properties aren't going to go, you know, down the hole. Weinstein himself will not be there anymore, obviously. And probably.
Yeah, they're not going to have the name. They're not going to have the name. It's going to be a new female-led movie studio. Sport of directors made up by a majority of women.
Mm.
I should say about 150 jobs, protect the small business owed money by the Weinstein Company, and create a fund to compensate victims of sexual harassment and abuse. Mm. Yep.
Mm.
Pretty much a win-win.
Yep.
All right. So now our entertainment section. Well, technically we've already kind of had our entertainment section, but now we're getting outside of the heavy financial shit and into actual entertainment material. So first of all, Netflix is going to have their first original Arabic series called Jinn that's going to be preparing next year, 2019.
God, that's still weird to hear. 2019 is next year.
Yeah.
The series is going to be a 6-part drama called Jinn, and surprisingly, it's about genies.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's very much led by Arabic people. There's a Lebanese director. I don't even want to know how to pronounce his name. Mirjan Bouchaya, who directed the acclaimed 2015 comedy Very Big Shot. Mm-hmm. The screenwriter co-wrote the Oscar-nominated Theeb, Theeb. Mm-hmm. It's going to feature Middle Eastern actors. It will be shot in Jordan later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Contemporary teen drama centered around a group of friends whose lives are disrupted when a supernatural being known as a djinn appears to them in front of a teenage boy in the ancient city of Petra.
Mm. Yeah, so keep in mind, this isn't like the type of, you know, what you're think. Well, when people think of Jin, you know, they usually think genie. And when they think genie, what do they usually think? They think some spirit that lives in a lamp, grants you three wishes.
Yeah.
But in the Middle East, jinn are, for one thing, people. A lot of people in the Middle East actually believe they are real, that they actually exist. And that basically they are a sort of a species that's separate from humanity. They're not angels. They're not demons. Basically, they're made out of sacred fire. And they believe that a lot of people in the Middle East believe that jinn, just like humans, have just as much capacity to do as much good as they do evil. So, you know, they do take that sort of mythology very seriously over there. So it'll be neat to be able to see, you know, how, you know, to see jinn portrayed outside of the sort of typical westernized orientalist view that we tend to have of them.
Yeah, they definitely mention that here. We are really excited about this. It's very common in the Middle East that people know someone who has a jinn story, so it's nice to take that and turn it into a fun and mysterious teen adventure that everyone can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Netflix made that commitment that they were going to go global,
they're
doing the Arabic series, they've got Japanese series, they've got German stuff.
Turns out if you want to actually push the service to people around the world, having series and movies and such made by people from those areas helps out a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything just being, you know, white Hollywood movies and TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's just really neat in general.
Yeah.
Yep.
As a quick aside, if you haven't checked out the Netflix series Dark, I would recommend doing so. But watch it in German, not in.
Mm-hmm.
Dark is basically like Stranger Things, but German and very, very, very.
So not as much humor as Stranger Things.
It's very a lot more serious. It's
mm-hmm.
Which you guys explained by saying it's very German.
Yeah, it's very German.
Yeah.
So serious.
Yeah.
Serious. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Netflix, they've recently ordered a weekly talk show that's going to be starring Hasan Minhaj from The Daily Show.
Yep. 32 episodes for this first year. It'll start later this year for his first season.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be really cool. He is the first Indian-American to get a talk show. And if you haven't watched his Netflix special, definitely do that because you get a good idea of the sort of humor he does, and it's going to be a really good fit for this service.
Mm-hmm.
It could potentially be there last week tonight.
Yeah.
Even though I imagine he's probably not going to go directly for that style of thing.
No, because he's
got. Mm-hmm.
But I imagine he'll do his own spin on it.
Yeah. Damn, Netflix is freaking killing it, dude. Yeah.
They're finding the right people to partner with.
There's a lot to be said for the fact because of their whole industry model that it basically opens them up to basically do pretty much any kind of material they want.
Yeah, because they don't have to worry about broadcasting it on television. So.
Yeah, and also the fact. You know, they don't have to worry about going by like FCC standards or shit like that. They can basically do whatever they want.
Also, they're completely and totally unconcerned about ratings.
No.
They don't give a fuck about ratings. What they care is if those shows bring you in mm-hmm. and keep you as a subscriber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I think Bright did really well, so obviously they made a deal for a second one.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't good, but it got enough interest that people were like, yeah, we'll go for another one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, speaking of more TV news, HBO has announced that they're going to be adapting Ray Bradbury's internationally famous novel, Fahrenheit 451, and we've got a trailer out now, too.
Mm-hmm. But, I watched the trailer for K. It has Michael B. Jordan in it.
Yeah, it does. It's the tone is kind of weird because anybody who's actually read Fahrenheit 451,
it's
not
a little bit because this is you read Fahrenheit 451. It was they were burning books because they put in them against the government.
Yeah.
And this one here, they're...
Yeah.
So...
Which actually also kind of ties in with the original tone of the book, because one of the things about the book is that people just in general started to think that, yeah, books were kind of stupid.
Yeah.
You know, basically the reason Bradbury wrote the book was because he hated television, and then he got his televisions, and then he got his own television show.
Yeah.
So.
mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I'll give this one. It is HBO, so they've had a pretty good track record as of late. So
yeah. And I'm going to be completely honest. Fahrenheit 451 is actually kind of a hard thing to adapt into film. Yeah, weirdly enough. yeah, people tried it once. It was okay, but finally, ultimate story for the night. Fox. Fox is working on a standalone Silver Surfer movie.
Yeah, maybe this will be the Fantastic Four movie that works.
Okay.
Just to get rid of the Fantastic Four.
Just in time to be Disney, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're basically just trying to turn out as much as they can until that's finalized.
Yeah.
So no kidding.
I don't know if they're trying to tank the brands that they're actually intending to do.
Or maybe they're just trying to put as much out to just get themselves, the people that are working there, richer before they get bought out by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Just get all the money.
Yeah.
Because it says here, Tim Miller is working on a Kitty Pryde movie, directing that with Brian Michael Bendis, writing the script. There's a Doctor Doom movie from the showrunner of Legion. Let's see, Brian K. Vaughan of Why the Last Man is working on a script for the Silver Surfer movie.
Mm-hmm.
Search is underway for a new Gambit director with a new script expected by March. And the New Mutants will take on reshoots this summer because they're going to add a new character. They delayed that 10 months to February next year.
Yeah, they're really trying as I can.
And they got X-Force that's coming at some point, which that's sort of the whole group behind Deadpool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they got Deadpool 2 coming out in a few months.
Which looks
By the way. Yeah. And they're still planning 3 more X-Men movies for 2019, and another 3 for 2020.
Wow.
The news. And if you thought you were busy,
Marvel
Yeah, because they're going to reboot all this anyway.
Yeah, basically.
And if you thought Marvel was busy, this is on another level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
Well, me neither.
Yeah. It's a character I'm not hugely familiar with.
Yeah.
Other than he's like some galactic dude.
Yeah.
He's the Herald of Galactus, basically.
Yeah.
But,
I didn't know there's anything interesting about him.
No, not really.
Not really. That's
He's
pretty much
a solid dude that just goes around and glares at people.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Maybe it'll be a silent movie.
Actually, it'll be good.
Yeah.
You just hear what he hears, which is nothing.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh. All right. So I think that's the last story for the night. Before we end it, there is one thing I wanted to bring up very briefly. I don't know if anybody has been watching the news lately, but there's a major teacher strike that's going on down in West Virginia that has actually gotten so big now that it's basically all of the schools in West Virginia have been closed down. Like all of them, all the public schools in the state of West Virginia are gone. And they've actually are getting ready to go up to the state capitol Saturday, and they're going to be occupying the state capitol, and they're actually calling on other public workers in the state of West Virginia to come and join them. And like the overall like size of the strike is like 30,000 people like taking part in it.
Yeah, don't fuck with teachers.
Yeah,
seriously,
they're doing the work that parents don't want to do.
Yeah.
And they're not getting paid nearly enough for it. I think West Virginia's 48th in the country for paying for teachers.
Yeah. So yeah. By the way, I just wanted to, Phil, do you know what the average pay for teachers up in Canada is?
Average pay for teachers is about 35 to 40.
In Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a lot. Of course, I've also been said that it's about as high as 100,000 in parts of Canada, but
yeah, it depends where you are, but you know.
Yeah. You know what the average in the U.S. is?
What's that?
It's actually lower.
Wow.
It's about 30,000. Yeah. So as you can guess, teachers have something to be pissed about.
Yeah.
So, you know, solidarity to all the striking teachers in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And with that, I do believe we're going to call it a show. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you have a question for us, if you want to write in the show, have something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, on top of iTunes, you can hear our little podcast at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, Archive.org, RSS. Anything where unscripted little shenanigans like ours can be heard. And with that, I have been your host of the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi. Good night. Sleep tight. Solidarity.